Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
We are back. I know we say that every time, but it's obvious when you hear the voices. In fact, you should know from the theme tune that there's definitely a high possibility that we are back.
It would be pretty awesome just to play the theme tune for one episode and just have nobody. We're not back.
Nothing else. Yeah.
Or it just opens with like a janitor doing some sweeping.
Oh, yeah, they're not here. They're not here. I don't know why you've tuned in. They're not here. Yeah, I mean, maybe in a couple of weeks. I don't know. They're pretty busy.
They've just popped out. They're on their way back.
Check back in later.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. We're not open at the moment. Yeah, just give us another couple of weeks. Yeah, we're just doing some reshuffling. Thank you. I didn't realise the door was open. Sorry.
What are you back? Hey, when are those guys back?
Not yet. They're not back yet. Sorry.
Hurry up. They're back. You guys back?
Shut. Bigfoot's out there. Well, we better come back, guys.
Uh-oh, okay. Oh, we're back!
And we're back!
Now, I hate to be the one to remind you, Reese, but I was expecting this episode to start with a bumper back-to-back double episode of the Rapisode.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't expecting a we are back. I was expecting a... How does it go? Yeah, like that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I ran out of time again because I have this job, guys, where I'm acting in a show. I'm the number one on the call sheet, so there's a lot of work, and I just haven't had time to sit back and write the double bumper. But it's still coming. It's, you know, we're going to wait for it. It'll be exciting. I think next week is going to be the week. I've got an extra day off tomorrow.
It's like delaying something that you know is inevitable, like needing to go to the dentist. And then the dentist cancelling on you and saying, no, you go come tomorrow. You go, oh, phew-ee, the pain's gone one day away.
What? No, but if you're going to the dentist, most likely you have pain. That's an extra day of pain. That's how our fans see it. They want the Rapisode.
Oh,
and
true.
Also, you're likening going to the dentist to listening to my Rapisode. So, you know, I'm not sure whether that works.
No, okay, I didn't think that one through. Well, but, you know, it's going to be the end of the Rapisode, so that's going to be painful. There's going to be people that are going to be, well, probably not tuning in anymore.
Well, my parents will be gone, for starters, yeah.
But there'll be something new.
Oh.
What's that famous quote? When something finishes, something new always begins.
Who's that famous quote by?
That's the Rhys Darby original, I think.
I think that's...
Me, I just came up with it.
Oh, it's now famous. Now that you said it, it's now famous.
That's the thing, yeah.
Hang on, I've got to do my audio signature on that.
Oh,
so
yes.
We're looking at...
Quick, copyright it.
It's 2:28 on the 16th of July. Rhys Darby.
I'm Darby.
Okay.
There we go.
You actually remember that audio signature. That's awesome.
Hang on, it's actually a two-page. I got to put my initials on the bottom of this one. R&D. Oh, and there's another bit here I got to sign. RMW. There we go. It's done.
Oh, it's all copywritten. And what was
I've forgotten the quote, so I'll go back and listen to it someday and might use it again.
I think was that the debut of the initials audio signature? Did we have that in the previous?
No, that's episode? New. You're right.
Wow.
Yeah, if there's a two-pager, you got to initial the second page as well. I want to say two-pager, I mean audio pages.
Have you just invented audio pages? You've now got a copyright.
Oh, quickly.
Copyright. Okay. 229 on the 16th of July. Audio pages as well as initials. I'll do a double up on this one. Reese Darby.
RMW. RMD. RMW.
All right, let's just fucking get on with the show, eh? Come on!
Stop inventing shit. Just shut it down. No more ideas, okay?
Okay.
We'll be here all day.
Hey, I've just seen that something I've experienced in the last couple of days is trending on Twitter, which is the neurovirus, which struck my family three days ago.
What?
It's a projectile vomiting and diarrhea bug, which hit my whole family.
You're kidding
this
me.
This is the first day I've been able to sit up. I've been flat in bed for 2 days. Fenella, my wife, was able to get up. She came downstairs with Wilf, and she was sitting across the table from him, and he projectile vomited all over her from across the table, like Exorcist style.
God, that's horrendous. God.
And we didn't know what was going on. It's been a nightmare in the house, and it's just come out that there's this big bug going around that's not Corona, and we're one of the few that have got it. So very exciting. We're trending.
Just throw out a suggestion there. Has anybody checked that virus couldn't possibly start from ingesting eucalyptus oil?
Oh, yes.
That'd be good call.
Did you start a whole new virus by ingesting eucalyptus oil?
Wow.
And because you went to the hospital, you're the super spreader.
It's very plausible. It's not a great thing to have done, so I'm not going to act all excited if I've infected an entire hospital with a new virus in the middle of a pandemic.
Well, viruses are so popular these days. I mean,
they're really hot, yeah. It's been hell, so it's nice chatting to you guys feeling normal because I've been flat out for the last few days there's a lot of projectile. It's fascinating to watch projectile vomit. It really is.
Out both ends.
It's column-like.
Well, okay, all right, well, let's crack into something more stomachable.
Sorry, I've just never trended before, and, you know, not many people have it. They're saying watch out for it, and I've, you know, I can go on TV now and talk about it. I've been there. I've seen it.
Finally, you're trending.
Yeah.
And on that note,
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
All right, what have we got, guys? Let me go first.
Oh, okay. Yep. Should we let you go first then?
So I've got always getting stuff sent through from the Cryptid Knights. And so this one caught my eye from the Daily Star. A Brit gran raised by monkeys in jungle after kidnap ordeal. Never saw her family again. I've got her here.
What?
Not physically with me. I've got this article. Yeah, Marina Chapman. So I think that'd be fun.
Wow.
Yeah. Are you trying to one up my man who didn't know that woman existed and has no sexual desire?
I think it's not going to be hard to top that one.
We should introduce those two. We should get those two together. That would be amazing. Like, come on.
Your guy that just had no libido. Because he was in the garden too much, that dude.
Okay, well, excited about that one then. What have you got, Dan?
There's a new scientific paper that's been published that says that should we meet aliens, our AI robots should be the ones that greet them.
Oh.
And there's a whole theory about how the universe is seeded with AI robots, and we'll get into that in a bit.
Wow.
That's interesting.
That's future news, isn't it, really? That's so news, it's in the future.
Did you say that's so news? That's so news that it's in the future. I mean, I think that could be a T-shirt. Were you trying to say that's so new?
that it could be in the future. If something's really new, it means it's from the future. It's so new that it's not even out yet.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But also you used the S on the end of it because it was news.
Yeah.
So you use two words, new and news.
Yeah.
Put them together as news.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly copyright that because nobody's ever done that before.
Yeah, you better do that.
I don't know that. I think you're treading on Reese's here's a famous quote, which has never been said before. He then says, its fame predates its existence. I think this is very similar.
It's time-traveling fame.
I might have to go back and check my quote, actually, yeah, to see if yours is very similar there, Buttons.
Well, hang on.
Let me just rewind the tape. And here's a quote for you. When one thing ends, a new thing begins. There we go.
That's so amazing. It's like rewinding the tape. Change the quote a little bit because I can't remember it being.
It also it weirdly aged Reese into an old man.
That's what the quote becomes in the future. He actually accidentally fast-forwarded the tape instead of rewound. He fast-forwarded to when he's an old man and he's condensed the quote down.
Things change over time. I think the quote did, because look, be honest, old Reese, he hasn't got much time left. He doesn't want a long quote. Hang on, I might go forward and see how much shorter it gets even more in the future.
Oh, yeah, possible.
Out with the old, in with the new. Wow, did you guys? Hang on, I've got to come back. Guys, did you hear that?
Yeah, that was amazing. Do you know what? In the future, you change your quote. It boils right down to an actual famous quote.
What? That one's been done?
Yeah, but it's like because you've reinvented it, you now re-own it. It's like you've done a future version of an old thing.
I think so. I mean, I wonder if it's still registered. Because it's literally a different quote now.
Oh, well, it's fine. I'm sure you copyright it in the future. Anyway, out with the old, in with the new, with my story, we haven't even gotten to my headline.
Hang on,
yet.
You're just using my quote now?
I'm using you can't future just... quote. No, but hey, that's fine. In the future, you can sue me. You can't sue me now.
I'm checking my box here. That's because we go through it in the future. It's $5 an hour, five times that. Yeah, you actually owe me $300.
But yeah, I owe you $300 in the future.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, I might set my alarm for when that happens, and just to make sure that $300. There we go. My alarm's going to go off when that happens.
when I owe you $300.
Probably when I'm 78, and I'm going to come knocking on your door for that $300 smackers.
Right. Why does setting your alarm sound like you're connecting to an old modem to get access to the internet?
It's a future alarm, okay?
Right. Because
it's not like on a normal phone where you can set it like days, weeks ahead. I'm talking years. So I have to hook it up to what my phone's hooked up to in about 58 years.
Which is a fax machine, it turns out.
Which is a special system that you guys don't know about yet.
Anyway, can I do my headline? You
hurry
guys
up!
Have to do yours. Well, I'm trying. Okay.
We've given you so much time to come up with it.
Well, this was lucky because it's taken me a while. But this one's, again, from our wonderful Cryptid Knights on Patreon. A button downer has sent this one through. Bless them. Thank you. But it turns out it's a little bit old. The news. I mean, it's just come out. Well, no, it's just come out. It's only out last month. But the news is from 1953.
Oh.
Okay. But it was a prediction made by a scientist back in 1953 that a man called Elon would lead human to Mars.
Oh, I heard about this.
Okay. Mm. That, I'm very excited by that.
Yeah. That's coming up.
Okay, are we going with Reese's headline first?
You want to go monkeys?
Let's go monkeys.
Okay. Marina Chapman credits her beloved granddad with saving her life after she was poisoned at the age of 5. This sounds familiar, right, Dan?
Low blow. Low blow.
But the grey-haired chap she's referring to isn't a man at all. He's a monkey. As bonkers as it might sound, Marina from Bradford, West Yorks, claims she was raised by a family of capuchin monkeys after she was the victim of a bungled kidnapping in Colombia. So here we go. I'd like to share this now.
You wake up and you are surrounded by 30 or so monkeys.
I don't know how many. I couldn't count too many because I don't know. I think there were more than 8 or more than 10 or something.
And were you scared at the time? Were you scared of the monkeys? What was your original reaction to them?
It was a mixed feeling. It was just, you feel a scare, but then at the same time you feel someone's there, because when you are lonely for a long time, you feel a little bit of comfort, but then it's a little bit scared because they got power. Mm-hmm. And when they push you backwards, maybe they're trying to check if you're in danger or something. I don't know. They, seems to be curious.
Well, they had to go through that process, I assume, as the tribe itself, make sure that you weren't a threat. And there was one moment that you say there was a breakthrough with the monkey that you said was the grandfather figure of the troop.
Yeah,
and that was bark, herb, that was... Well, burned you.
Yeah, it burned me.
Yeah, when you swallowed it and the tamarind.
Oh, when you eat,
Wait, now, who's telling this story, mate?
I was quite hungry.
You were her.
I ate too many.
Yeah.
And eventually there's this stomach.
You know, like
hurts,
what we scripted,
and
remember?
It makes you feel really whole and hot. And
so you were ill and the monkey led you
ill.
to...
He's like one of these cops that's like helping with the witness.
And so the guy dragged... No, he didn't drag me. No, let me just say that again. He dragged you, didn't he?
Yeah, he dragged you, didn't he? Remember the old guy? He was the old one there. Look, I don't know how much I'm getting paid for this, but I don't recall... look, I told you what we're doing here, okay? You were raised by monkeys.
It's worth saying just very quickly for anyone who's outside of the UK, because sometimes these clips play and you think, what are these TV shows that they're on? You know, is it sort of like weird cable channels and stuff? But that was... is Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield, who are the presenters of possibly the most watched breakfast TV show in the UK. They are household names here. So that's that would have been seen by millions and millions of people, presented as a very legit thing as well.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure a lot of that is legit. It sounds mad as shit.
Well, she says at the age of 4, she found herself scared and alone in the heart of the unforgiving rainforest after being snatched from her family's garden, then dumped a few days later.
What, by the monkeys?
Well, she's 71 now.
No, but did the monkeys drug her and kidnap her? Who drugged her and kidnapped her? Those are bad monkeys.
Listen, I'm about
monkeys.
To tell you.
Oh, thank goodness.
She cannot remember anything about her biological family or her life before she was kidnapped. The day she was taken was the last time she saw them.
No,
however,
no.
She remembers the other family perfectly. She estimates that she lived with the monkeys for around 5 years in the South American jungle. After a few days, she says the colony of capuchins welcomed her into their family and helped her survive in an environment teeming with hazards such as killer snakes, blood-sucking insects, poisonous plants, and flash flooding.
Wow. That's
incredible. She has vivid memories of these tree-swinging creatures, i.e. monkeys, teaching her how to forage for fruit and nuts, helping her find fresh water, and grooming her as if she was one of their own.
Wow.
Awesome, eh?
This happened in 1953, I think I saw. Buttons, when was your prediction story?
My prediction was 1953!
Wow.
Oh, my God. We've got two news articles from 1953. What does that mean?
That's weird. The book is called The Girl With No Name, which is the story of how she was raised by monkeys. So,
Bit weird because her name is right under that, Marina Chapman.
That's hilarious.
Well, it's always weird, isn't it, this whole idea of being stolen by monkeys. Well, not stolen by monkeys, but raised by monkeys. Because, she's 4 years old, 5 years old, so... I mean, if I popped Wilf into the jungle right now at his age, he's turning 4. I can't see how he would survive. I can't see how he would have any understanding of how to do anything other than ask the monkeys to watch Dino Dana on Amazon Prime. Like, how does that happen? you really need hands-on monkeys to go, what's going to keep this thing alive? Because there's very different priorities to keeping a child versus a monkey alive, I imagine.
Yeah, but here's where you're wrong. We're very, very similar. And look, I've had experience firsthand with the primate world when I visited the silverback gorillas, mountain gorillas in Rwanda.
You know what? I just watched that TV show the other day, Intrepid Journeys. We'll put a link up.
Oh, we should.
Because it's a really great series. And I was going to ask you about that because they seem so nurturing. And I know that's mountain gorillas, not capuchins. But I'd love to hear about that because it seemed like if you left a four-year-old child with them, they would genuinely care.
They would absolutely look after it. I mean, I was 6 feet away from this whole group of gorillas and I got to see the interactions, which were very human. I mean, the male gorillas were actually giving the little baby gorillas like horsey rides and things like that. And they were cuddling them and they were showing them how to poke a stick down an ant hole to pull out all the ants. So they would lick it and then stick it down and then pull it up and they'd be covered in ants. And then they're just like, it would be like a little candy stick for them. And they were, the adult was showing the young ones how to do it. And the young ones were just like fighting each other and they were getting told off and things like that. And said, no, pay attention to, you got to work out how to put the stick down the hole. You know, just they were just acting like little toddlers. And the dad was like getting angry. And then eventually they did it. And I was, you know, I was watching that kind of stuff and I was amazed. You can't really explain the sense of like likeness that we have and how you really felt like you were looking at bigger, furrier humans. It was in their eyes as well when they look at you. They have this really deep sort of gaze at you. It's a stare that has a lot of warmth behind it. And there's absolutely no menace. There's nothing there. And it makes you feel, well, you know, fall in love with them instantly. And yeah, it was a magical experience, that's for sure. So I can see how, going back to this story, that monkeys, especially with a little tiny kid, would do the same thing, would, especially the older ones. And she spoke about that, the granddad being the one that really helped her out, actually treating her like she was just one of the regular monkey primates, you know, and just finding nuts, foraging, looking, knowing where water is, and she would have been kept with them in their group and kept warm. And all you got to do, remember, is just eat and drink to survive.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. I mean, it doesn't serve the Hollywood movie that well that she then relocates to Bradford in the UK. Like, that is a cultural shift. Do we find out at what point she was sort of rescued or?
No, I think.
Got to read the book.
Still nothing in the article. I think you got to read the full book there for that. And once again, that book is for sale. It's available. It's called The Girl with No Name, written by Marina Chapman, who is the girl with a name. But back then did not have one, of course.
Didn't have one, yeah, exactly.
I don't want to cast shadow or doubt on her story or her book, but I wonder what proof there is to it.
She actually underwent a series of tests, including bone density scans, which showed signs of severe malnutrition between the ages of 6 and 10, which led to her growth being stunted, which matches the timeline of when she claims to have lived with the monkeys. And they also hooked her up to a lie detector, which proved that her subconscious brain registered images of capuchins with the same strength of feeling as pictures of her human family members.
Wow.
So that worked. And then as part of a special documentary, they even took the 5-foot-tall Nana to the depths of the Colombian jungle, where she actually scaled trees, gnawed down palm fronds, and cracked open a coconut with her teeth.
Wow.
She did all this at the age of 71. So, you know, it's looking like a no-brainer to me.
Going for a walk in the bush with your grandma and she just starts cracking open coconuts with her teeth, you'd be like...
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Grandma, can you settle down? You're just getting a bit embarrassing, just if you could stop with the coconut cracking.
Yeah, imagine her on the so monkey cool. bars at the playground with the grandkids, just owning it.
All right, well, that's that anyway.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, great story. So cool that she's talking about it as well, and that she got out of it, because I just quickly read the rest of her story. You know, when she was taken out of there, it was by hunters who then sold her on as a sort of child to sex slave kind of territories.
Wow.
And then she was rescued by someone and taken out of that.
Spoiler alerts! Spoiler alerts! I mean, hang on. I've already put my order in for the book. I'm going to have to go back, I'm afraid. Out with the old, in with the new.
He's gone forward again.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, too far. Too far.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Mama. Mama.
Oh, heck. Fuck, whatever. I don't know where I've gone now. All right, mate, I'll be back soon. I've just got to do the podcast. Okay, I'm back, guys. I'm not sure. I can't even remember where I was going or why.
That is literally the first time that you could legitimately say, and we're back. and thank God.
What's been happening with the show? I've completely
mate, honestly, there was a great news article. You did it, and it's all over now, cool. So you don't have to bother with that. We can put that to bed. So thank you for your contribution. Brilliant. Yeah, well done. Oh, you did great. You did real great.
Oh, great. It was exciting. It was
so exciting. Oh, we laughed, didn't we, Dan? Oh, we laughed.
Yeah.
Very good laugh.
Was it so news that it was from the future? Oh, sorry, that was yours. It was your copywritten.
Oh, no. That'll be $300, thanks, mate.
Oh.
You didn't copyright it. We talked you out of it.
I don't think you did.
Oh, I didn't. No.
I can't even remember
my audio signature anyway.
I'm quickly copywriting it now. It's 3 minutes past three on the 16th of July. So news, it's from the future. Rhys Darby. RMW. There we go.
It's not fair. Just because I couldn't remember my stupid audio signature. Whose idea was an audio signature anyway, stupid?
Hey, hang on. Looking at my claws here. Yeah, if you're to bring me down with my ideas, particularly those ones there, that's another 200.
Oh, no! Yeah. I'm going to be future bankrupt. People will be like, oh, so you're only 3 days away from being bankrupt, Mr. Kirkbeck. You better have fun now. You got all those debts from that podcast you did, you know, 30 years ago. They're coming due tomorrow.
Oh, no. So, you look at the app on your phone and the pending is from 30 years ahead. Like, no. That would be horrific.
I'm going to make sure I've got no money by the time you turn 75.
Yeah. Should I do my story?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So this is the story that a scientist thinks that the extraterrestrials that we meet will be not biological. So he believes that once we are visited, we're going to be visited by AI robots from other civilizations that have sent them. So we need to train up our AI robots to be ready to meet them, so that they can understand the same language as they're talking. So,
right. Well, this makes total sense.
Makes absolute sense in that respect. You know, you've got to have an algorithm that can take in immediately all of the noise and information that they're putting out, try and learn it really quickly and be able to basically Rosetta Stone it, just try and crack whatever it is and talk back to them. And this is an idea that has just been published in a Scientific American article by a guy called Avi Loeb.
Oh, this is Avi Loeb.
Avi Loeb.
Yeah, we know him. He's the Oumuamua alien theorist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As well as a doctor and all the rest of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is him. He's the physicist who has been basically putting forward that idea that Oumuamua was the first item that ever visited our solar system from out of the solar system that we've tracked and known about. And there was very odd happenings with it. And he believes that that was sent by extraterrestrials, basically. Yeah, so he says that we have to basically seed our civilizations into the universe via AI. And his ideas are that we can do that by, if you sent out 3D printers and they were able to copy themselves and print out the AI robots that we needed, and they could teach themselves and become smarter along the way and evolve as they're going. So because space is so ginormous that the idea of us even getting to a local star would take millions of years. We can't do it as humans. So the idea is that if we can't do it, we need to create the AI versions of us that can do it and seed the universe with that.
Makes total sense, because we can't get out there in the first place. You know, we just don't have the capabilities, and we've got AI. We're working on it. Let's create these things and send them out there. But you're suggesting that the aliens will be sending their AI. And that actually fits in with the reports of people who have been abducted, contactees, sometimes believing that the creatures that they're dealing with are actually AI. That's what some people believe. People believe that the greys, in fact, are definitely AI, that they're not organic creatures.
Yeah. Really? I haven't heard that. Mm. Okay.
Hey, while you were talking about that, Dan, also reminded me of an idea. I came up with the idea as you were saying it. So reminded me of myself as I was being reminded about AI and space and how we could project ourselves as humans forward into deep space for exploration via the process of sci-fi robot rangers. It's sci-fi robot rangers. Episode 1.
This is the latest report. We are entering near Neptune.
Roger that. We need to go down to the source area to get our suits to get ready to get down onto the planet. Roger. Nigel, we need to get our suits on.
So that's just a small excerpt to...
Wow. Is this... Earlier, when you promised us that once Rapisode has ended, that something new will be bought.
Oh, this is the teaser. That's
the teaser.
Teaser
for the next. Oh, man.
Sci-fi robot rangers.
Oh, my God. Do you know what I really want to do just really quickly?
Yeah.
As Leon Kirkbeck, today's date is Friday, July the 16th, 6:09 p.m. Just
no,
copywriting sci-fi.
10 past 3, sci-fi, the 16th
robot
of
rangers,
July. Sci-fi
and,
robot
and
rangers.
Audio signatures.
Copyright.
I couldn't remember my signature.
Buttons, how long is your contract that you got to set up to copyright things?
This is the thing. I'm never going to get to own anything in the future.
Page 2, initial, RMD. Page 3, initial, RMD. Page 4, initial, RMD. Page 5, initial, RMD. Page 6, RMD. Page 7, RMD.
7-page contract. This is going to be a big deal.
Wow. I think it's a big one.
Damn it.
So close, dude. You're so close.
And sci-fi robot rangers, but that means I'd have to actually write these series, which we all know would be a mess, would be terrible. So I'm glad you've copywritten it. Now you've got to do all the work to write this stupid...
Hey, I've got plenty of time, as we all know.
Oh, man.
Any more on your article, Dan?
No, I just think he's an interesting guy that we just should stay on top of his ideas, because
he's
out there, and he's, you know, the stuff about Oumuamua and the idea that maybe it was passing our sun and energizing itself like a battery, basically like a solar battery, before it travels onwards, hence all the odd movements. I haven't looked into any of the sort of evidence that he's claiming, but the ideas are just fascinating to look at. So this guy's building a big theory right now, and this is his next step. The idea that, the AI robots, we keep looking at them as serving humans, but actually, what if that's what's going to seed the universe? That's, you know, humanity's legacy, potentially. Is a pretty fascinating idea.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I've been listening to a great podcast called The End of the World with Josh Clark. If you haven't listened to it, you should listen to it. It's quite a fascinating look at the existential crises that we as humans might face. And one of them is AI coming online, right? Mm-hmm. And us creating this effectively a god
our own God. And there is a couple of famous quotes. One of the guys at Bletchley Park that helped design the Enigma code cracker.
Alan Turing?
No, one of the people that were on it. I can't remember the name of it because my memory is not very good. But he had a quote that creating an AI to the level that it can actually create other creations will be the last invention that humans will ever have to make.
Mm.
Because once an AI is clever enough, that will be the thing that does all of the creating. The problem is it'll start creating stuff that we don't even understand as humans. It'll exceed our knowledge.
Wait, is this still the quote? It's quite a long quote. What was the quote again?
It was, in the future, there will be AI and it will be the last invention, something.
Oh, okay. It's not a bad quote, but it's not as good as this one. Hang on, I just got to go find it. Out with the old, in with the new.
Wow, that's that future quote. I can't wait till that
Hang
quote.
On, I've got to come back.
Yeah, he's not back yet.
Oh no, stop going back.
Oh shit. There you go, mate. Thank you. Guys, what's happening?
And we're back.
Oh god, thank you. We're back. I just get back for the start.
Yeah, you saved the audience from having to listen to me try and explain some quotes that I didn't quite remember about AI. It was amazing.
Oh,
well
thank
done.
God.
Yeah, thank you.
I was just in the future. You never guess, the biggest show on television.
Really?
Did you just say really?
I thought you said you're the biggest show on television.
He paid to be on that.
Wow.
I'm telling you. I said, you'll never guess, the biggest show on television. And then you went,
not
really?
Sci-fi space.
Sci-fi space rangers.
Yes. Yes. Cool. Sci-fi robot rangers.
Sci-fi robot rangers.
15 seasons they made of it. So hopefully we're involved somehow. I might have sold the idea. I don't know. I couldn't stick around too long. I had to come back. Get into this boring show again, try and get through it.
I just can't wait until you fast forward to the future and your quote is just boiled down to old, new. Soon it's just not even going to exist.
I think it's going to slowly transform into your amazing quote, which was so news that it's from the future. Okay, come on, do your story.
Okay, well, people on the podcast won't know this, but our lovely Cryptid Knights will know this from listening to our preamble that we were talking about the upcoming Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah. Number five.
And that it involves the Nazi story about them developing the V2 rocket and those scientists coming to America to help develop all of the rocket technology here as part of the Operation Paperclip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Funnily enough, my story is exactly about that as well.
Ooh.
One of those scientists, one of the more famous ones, was a guy called Von Braun.
Yeah,
yes, of course.
The most famous.
The godfather of rockets.
Yeah, that's right. And so Wernher von Braun actually wrote a book, and it's entitled Mars Project, A Technical Tale. Now, in this book from 1953, von Braun has a statement in there, which is now seen as a prediction.
It's not a quote. Can we just confirm this is a statement, not a quote?
It's a quote of his prediction.
Because you're not good with quotes, remember?
I'm struggling to figure out what I am good at this point, but it's certainly not quotes. But to quote Wernher von Braun's book.
Oh, so you're going to do a quote now, though?
He's quoting the statement.
I'm going to try. If you give me a second.
Are you going to quote the statement?
I'm going to try and quote the book that Wernher von Braun.
You're going to quote the whole book.
Get yourself comfortable.
I told you you weren't good with quotes.
Oh, man, I don't even know where I'm at now. I'm lost.
Hang on, we'll go back. Go. You just go from there.
From where?
now?
Oh, from here. Oh, hey, guys. So there's this great story that I've got here, and it's all about Elon Musk.
Ooh.
And he predicted back in October, saying that in 2024, humans will set foot on Mars.
2024, okay.
Which is not that far away.
No.
Yep.
3 years, as it is. But he didn't even know that an essay published in 1953 by Wernher von Braun, if you've heard of them, have you heard of him? He was part of Operation Paperclip.
Yeah. I mean, he's the grandfather of rocket science.
Yeah. It feels like we've been over this territory before.
It's weird,
Recently. Deja vu? Yeah. Mm. Deja vu. It's like I've been boring people previously with this.
I doubt it.
That's not so unlikely. So unlikely. Elon Musk, obviously CEO and founder of SpaceX. His name is Elon, which is kind of a weird name in itself. It's quite unique. Don't know many Elons. Well, chapter 24 of Dr. Wernher von Braun's book is called How Mars is Governed. One of the sentences says, the Martian government was directed by 10 men, the leader of whom was called Elon.
But hang on a second. But this book, is this a prediction or is this a fictional
idea? Well, it is now.
Idea?
Well, it's entitled Mars Project, A Technical Tale. It's written by Wernher von Braun.
Hmm.
Oh, it's a non-fiction book.
Right.
Is it? I mean, that sounded like fiction.
How can it be non-fiction when he's talking about the future?
Yeah.
So it says here.
Wait, is this new? This book's news. Because if it's so news, it could be from the future.
This is so news, guys.
There's a quote from somewhere. I can't remember who came up with that one, but this is something that I've bought into it. I've copywritten it myself, but it's an amazing quote.
Remind me to buy one of your t-shirts with your quote on it? Because honestly, I want people to know how news I am. I'm very news.
Well, when Braun's book came out in 53,
yeah.
I mean, it must have been so news then when it came out that it was from the future.
Well, it was.
So therefore, I guess what I'm asking is, what are you talking about? No.
I don't know. I'm going to cut all this
out. It's a non-fiction book, but he's obviously written a sort of fictional account of the future within it.
Well, they call it a non-fiction book that's not a standard. It's an essay, but he uses the narrative to explain to the average reader how a trip to Mars might look in the future.
Yeah.
Wow.
And how we will get there to colonizing Mars. And it's just complete coincidence maybe, or perhaps a foretelling of the future that he calls the leader of the trip to Mars, Elon.
That's amazing.
It's awesome.
Bottom line, because, you can use the word coincidence. People use it. People love using that word. Or you can use synchronicity. You can use intelligent design. You can say that, we are all living in something like the Matrix that is already foretold.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to feel more and more like that's the vibe of this big snow globe that we all live in. And it's little pieces of proof like that in some ways, deja vus or reverse deja vus.
Yeah.
New thing I should probably copyright there. I'll let you have that one if you want. I know
thank you. Yeah, I'll copyright that one later once I remember what my audio signature is.
Okay, cool.
Well, here's something that's cool, because you could imagine that maybe Elon Musk read all this kind of stuff as a kid, and maybe that's what inspired him to think Mars is somewhere to go, right? I've just brought up an article on it, and December 30th, 2020, so literally on the brink of this being this year's news, Elon Musk wrote, destiny, no escaping that for me, on Twitter. And someone replied to him saying, speaking about destiny, did you know that von Braun's 1953 book, Mars Project, referenced a person named Elon who would bring humans to Mars? Pretty nuts. Elon Musk writes back, are we sure this is real? So he has never heard of it. So he only learnt about it in December of last year.
Through somebody replying to a tweet. That's incredible. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Like, that's new knowledge to him as well.
I just have to say, Dan, in the future, what I might actually do is send my news articles to you so that you can actually just make my stories a bit better. Because that's what I was trying to say. You seem to say that really well, really quickly. It took me like 15 minutes.
There's another word I've heard, bandied around. which might come of use to you, just the thought of it, and that is the word articulation.
Ah, is that like...
To articulate, to...
Right. What does that do?
Talk about and describe what you're talking about in a particular way that is easy to understand.
I don't know if I can... I'm not following you there. Sorry. What? Anyway, back to my news article. The one thing I do love about Elon, the whole reason why he wants to get to Mars, which I completely agree with this, is that he wants to set foot on Mars. He wants to get people to Mars for the sake of saving humanity and saving human life, because the way that we're going now, it's almost guaranteed that the world is not going to be habitable for humans. If we don't get humans out into space and start, you know, populating the universe, then what were we all for? Like, we were sort of out in a flash in the pan. And so I actually do really respect what he is doing, and I think it's a really noble effort.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. He's an amazing character, and he's polar to a lot of people. Some people hate him, some people love him, but you know, he's currently living in rented accommodation.
Yeah.
You know, second richest man in the world is living in rented accommodation. A tiny little movable house, you know, like a trailer.
That's
almost.
That's crazy.
One issue though with going to Mars so soon, astrobiologists don't want us to do that because we still haven't yet worked out whether or not life was there. And as soon as life lands on there, we're going to infect the chances of us understanding whether or not there once was other life in the universe. And so they're desperately trying to stop these billionaires from setting foot there, because as soon as that happens, if we've not done a real canvassing of it, we may never know if we were once joined or maybe even came over from there to begin with. You know, that's possible as well.
Yeah, that's one of the big theories for sure.
Yeah. So it's interesting, if 2024 is when he's thinking we could do it, there's going to be a lot of people in the science community sweating over that, going, no, we may never find out.
Well, so what's the issue with humans now stepping foot on there? In what way will that ruin what was already there, or our chances of working out whether we were there in the past?
It's kind of just like contamination. So it's germs, it's bacteria, it's, any bit of life. So the stuff that they send in to Mars has to be so scrubbed clean that nothing is on there.
Yeah.
But do you know, right now there's a possibility, because it was a Chinese ship that was crashed into the surface of the moon. And on board that was tardigrades. They can survive anything, basically. Oh. Like they're the real cockroach. And it's possible that they survived the landing and they can survive on the moon. So it's possible that there is life on the moon right now multiplying. And by the time we get back
exciting.
There. Yeah, like that's pretty nuts.
How small are these things?
They're like, they're microscopic almost, I think.
Right, yeah.
Imagine next time a human lands on the moon and they're climbing down the ladder and they're about to like have a fantastic quote to match Armstrong's, you know, small step for mankind.
Well, I hope you're not writing the quote. you're not having anything to do with the quotes when they come through. You're not going to say them.
As I hop off this ladder into the space realm of the moon, there are things
Is he quoting? Is this a quote or is this him talking? You can't tell. You don't know when the quotes start and when they stop with him.
Oh, that's not fair.
Hang on, I'm just looking through my Sci-Fi Robot Rangers scripts here. I bought them back. I managed to bring some back from the future. And episode 3 is actually about the moon and there being life on it, and that the Rangers discover it. So that's just a little bit of it possibly is these organisms that you're talking about, Dan.
Maybe we did write these scripts. Maybe we are involved in this project.
I think we are. I think he's just stealing our ideas. I think we've got to stop giving him all these great ideas.
Who, Darby?
Yeah.
Is that who you're talking about?
No, us, you and me. He's taking all our, like, he's taking your
Who are you quoting now? Is this a quote?
This is a statement, all right?
Okay. You're a statement guy.
Sort of more of a bank statement.
Well, how cool is that Elon's journey right now has been... as you say, possibly predicted.
Foretold.
By the grandfather of rocket science.
Yeah. I mean that's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
By the
way,
at the same time, this young kid was being raised by monkeys.
Marina Chapman.
Yeah, Von. Yeah. Well, she didn't have a name back then.
That's true.
But Von Braun wrote that book.
Yeah.
So cool.
So is there an argument that someone who knows how to live in wild circumstances and survive should be possibly the first human to set foot on Mars? Should Marina Chapman be sent as our opening astronaut? Because she knows how to survive the wilds. Yeah. She's been there.
That would be amazing. She gets down off the ship.
You right out there, Gren? Yep, fine. Oh, there's a quote in here.
What?
And it out with the old, in with the new.
Ooh.
What'd you find?
How good would it be if she climbed down off the ladder and her quote was, out with the old, in with the new. It's not quite small step for mankind, but it'll do, it'll do.
I think you're missing out on what actually did happen there, Buttons, and that she found a quote inside a box on Mars.
On Mars.
It was sealed. Yeah, she opened it. Didn't you hear that?
Yeah, well, no, I heard her eat all the Chinese microscopic bugs.
Oh, yeah, she ate a lot of those bugs.
Yeah.
Tardigrades. Yeah, 1 millimeter, just as a fact check, they're millimeter.
Oh, wow, they are tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to get quite a few of those on your stick to have a meal. You know what I mean?
I wondered where you're going with that.
All right, let's get into some cryptozoology.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Oh, help me!
You guys got anything?
Yeah, I got one story, which I think possibly you guys might have found as well, is some Bigfoot footage that has come across from Michigan.
Oh, wow.
There's a quote. I'm going to read a quote here, if that's all right.
Ooh, exciting.
Here we go. As long as it's not Buttons doing it.
It's Buttons territory.
Do you want me to do it for you?
Don't, he'll ruin it.
My cousin was kayaking on the Cass River here in Michigan when he took this picture. Not sure what it is, but I've sent it to a few people to see what they say. Some say it's Bigfoot carrying a baby Bigfoot. Others say it's Bigfoot carrying a deer. And so maybe I'll share a screen with
us. Please. I saw this. I'd love to have another look at this. This is brand new.
Yeah.
Or is it from 1953? I'm not sure.
Okay, so what we're looking at here is a photo of potentially Bigfoot with, I don't know what that shadow is. It looks like a bit like he's wearing swimwear, sort of Y-front swimwear. And
it's just shadowing.
Oh, is it shadowing? Okay. So what's interesting is there's a picture, but then there's also video as well of this Bigfoot bit. It's really oddly put together video. Now, what is going on there?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's oddly put together.
So what we're seeing here for the listener is this is someone's clearly sitting in a kayak traveling through a river, and in the distance there appears to be something crossing the river.
Hominid. It's definitely a figure. And then what's this? You've cut to a mountain shot.
Yeah, I don't know why it keeps cutting to mountain shots.
Nice mountain shot.
This video footage can be likened to one of Button's quotes. It's all over the place. You can't tell where the start is. There's something in the middle there. I mean, that is absolutely...
It looks very convincing. It doesn't certainly look like a human in, you know, clothes and what have you. It looks...
Yeah.
What is he carrying? He's carrying something.
So people say a deer, but what... I can't make that out from the footage.
Or a small unnamed child that it's going to rear that might have been kidnapped and drugged, I'm just saying.
I think you could be onto something there. Do we know what date this was? It was definitely recent. Wasn't the 50s? Now, I would say, but look at the body. It's definitely a Sasquatch, in my opinion. And I think it then comes down to, is it real or is it someone in a suit?
Hmm.
Now, you really need to, and I would recommend all the listeners check this out. Michigan Bigfoot video crossing Cass River is what you're searching for. Check it out. See what you think. It's as clear as day, the object. And you can actually see there that he is carrying something on his shoulder. And you can see it's a baby deer. You can see it's the size of the deer. Yeah, that's really quite cool. That's convincing to me.
Yeah. So in this blog, which is rmsobigfoot.blogs.com, Bot.com. So it's obviously a lot of people who want to work out what's going on here. So the comments, looks like possibly carrying two young ones. Looks like an arm going around the thigh also, as well as one on the side and shoulder. Mm. I'm thinking that I also see what I think are three faces, one being mum, dad, question mark, and medium face and smaller one, question mark. So not many people saying, reckon this is a hoax. They're all sort of engaging with it, really.
Wow. Someone says here, it looks like a guy carrying a dead deer.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a couple of people. Oh, there's another one here. It looks like a guy in a costume, unlike Paddy. So, you know, you've got a couple of naysayers.
Yeah, there always is.
That's true, right at the bottom there.
But I think it looks legit. I don't think it looks like a costume because it's got sort of quite a good girth in the thighs and stuff. It's hard to replicate that kind of stuff. It's the muscly legs and arms that always give it away for me. Like if you can see definition, then it's a go. And I hate to say it, but that's quite a good quote, actually. I might copyright that. If you see definition, then it's a go. It's 4:15, 16th of July, Rhys Darby, RMW.
The good thing with that quote is you can actually use that for quite a few different things. Like if you're a photographer and you're taking a photo and you go, yeah, I can see definition. It's a go, guys. It's a go.
It's also good for, so we can use it for photography, also for the dictionary.
Yeah.
If you see the definition and it's a go. So, yeah, I might write down a list of things that go with it on page 2 of this book here, actually.
That, isn't that similar to the quote that you had for me? If you hear articulation, it's a go?
I think that wasn't a quote. That was just a word people bandy, articulation. And then I defined it for you because I don't think you knew.
I think that was just advice. I think that was just genuine good advice.
That was open advice. Right. No signing required.
You'll take that to heart, that one.
Yeah, you won't owe me 300 for that in a few years. Because I know you won't go anywhere with it. Your articulation is not going to change.
Hey, I may not have articulation, but I've definitely got definition, all right? So
yes.
I'm like high definition.
High def.
Low articulation.
Hey, I'm going to buy these headphones. What's the articulation like on these? Not too bad, actually. No, you want to these Kirkbecks aren't too good. If I was you, I mean, put them on. I mean, what do you want? You're listening to an audiobook? Yeah, let's listen to it. Wait, what is this audiobook? Oh, this is Oscar Wilde's greatest quotes. Okay, let's have a listen.
Okay, so Oscar Wilde, and he had some quotes.
What other headphones are there? I mean, it's coming through clear, but I can't understand what he's saying.
But how's the definition?
The definition.
Oh God, it's so sadly so true. What other crypto news have we got?
Okay, this from the Standard. Man sees large black cat with yellow eyes while driving along the M56 near Chester Services.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is just come out 10 hours ago, so very hot off the press.
Mm. Where was this, Reese, did you say?
On the M56 near Chester Services. And it Chester. Rings a bell for me because I've definitely been to the Chester Services en route to some gig back in the day. I've been to Chester many times for live comedy back in the day when they used to do that. The witness, called Howard, saw the creature while travelling along the inside lane of the motorway at Elton. He reported the sighting to Puma Watch North Wales, the group set up to investigate and document such encounters in the region. The group has received more and more reports from over the border, Cheshire and Shropshire. Howard said, I was travelling to work from Flint on the M56. I was on the inside lane at approximately 60 miles per hour. I spotted the animal in a farmer's field to my left. It jumped out of a drainage ditch in the field and lay down on its belly like it was in hunting mode, classic Ooh. Cat behavior. It was looking at the sheep in the field. As I passed it, I got a very good look at it. It was the size of a large dog, but was unmistakably a large cat, which you do have to say straight after you've said it was the size of a large dog, because then people go, oh, it was a dog, wasn't it? But if you immediately go, but it was unmistakably a large cat, then you've saved yourself there. It turned its head as I passed, because how many times have we read these kind of things and you've both said, oh, yeah, it looks like a large dog.
Yeah, every time.
It turned its head as I passed and I could see the yellow in its eyes. I mean, I'm thinking, like, how close was this guy to it? Because he was driving along the motorway and saw it, but he reckons he saw the yellowness in its eyes. I mean, either this guy's got amazing eyesight or it was quite close. He added, I kept it in sight in my wing mirror as I went by and saw it turn and go back down into the drainage ditch, seemingly spooked by the noise of the traffic. I did consider going to try and find the farm that the fields belonged to so I could warn the farmer, but was unable to work out where the farm was. North Wales, guys, it's really becoming a hotspot for sightings.
Yeah.
Mm. And I know we get big cat reports come through almost weekly from the UK. It's really getting more and more constant, isn't it? The ABC reports. So
it really is, yeah.
So yeah, there we have it.
Is it possible that maybe just cats are getting bigger?
That's good. I like that.
Like, we just haven't acknowledged it yet, but there's just a lot of big cats now.
I mean, my two are looking a bit on the large size, I'll be honest, but that's just a lack of exercise. Their bone structure is still the same as your normal domestic tabby.
Mm. You're just feeding them too much.
I think so, yeah. They're moany bastards.
Yeah, there's so many reports in the UK about big cats.
And just to back up your story, and for all of those naysayers that go, no, there can't be big cats out in the wild. How on earth would they get there? My little piece of cryptozoology news ties very nicely into this, in the fact that a serval, which is obviously a large cat, has just recently escaped a North Carolina petting zoo.
Oh.
And they've caught it and they've got it back into captivity, which is great. And obviously servals are not that lethal to human life, so it obviously wasn't that big a scare. But the interesting thing with this escape, the big cat was helped with the help from a pig.
What? What happened?
Apparently, according to the owner of the petting zoo, the cat, called King Sparta, was released from the facility with distinct help from its friendly pig. So there's the King Sparta and the pig are friends, and the pig actually helped the cat break the fence so that the King Sparta could escape.
Okay, wait, so go back a bit. So who's King Sparta?
The cat.
Okay, no name for the pig?
No name for the pig. Pig doesn't get a name. I'm sure it doesn't. And look, they haven't provided that many details with the story, to be fair.
How did the pig help him?
Help break open the fence.
Wow.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah, wow.
In collusion.
It has to be, right? Because they're friends. And so he was like, I know how to get you out of here, mate. I've seen a witness.
Wait, you sure it wasn't like they were going to sort of go in cahoots together? And the cat and the pig are like, right, we're going to do this, mate, you and me. What I need you to do, Fatty, is just to really push down on that fence. Yep, as quick as you can. And honestly, the two of us are going to be out of here in no time.
Okay.
All right, I'm away. Spot ya!
About me. About me.
You can't quite get through, can he? Big pig.
So the pig not get through? Is that what we're saying? He was sort of accomplice, but
yeah, the pig didn't escape. The pig was still back at the zoo.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. The cat used him. You know what cats are like.
Oh, cheeky buggers. If it was a dog, if he had helped the dog escape, the dog would have waited.
Yeah.
But no, not the cat.
Why is the dog escaping?
Well, I'm just saying, if it was a dog, because dogs are more loyal, aren't they? And so if the pig helped the dog escape, dog would have hung out and waited.
Yeah, he would have like helped him get through.
Yeah.
But the cat was just like, nah, I'm out, mate. Thank you. I think he felt like he used him. That's how I imagine it. Poor pig.
Is this a big cat, Buttons, or is it just a cat?
Serval.
So they're not that big.
Are they
big.
Quite big? Right.
They're bigger than normal cats, right?
Yeah, they're a big cat, but they're on the smaller side of big cats. How big was the pig? That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Because the reason I say that is because I worked with pigs recently, and massive ones, and I'm talking gigantic. They can be so big, like small hippos.
Really?
The ones I worked with were.
Well, you've got to be careful with you making quotes. Like, people could clip that out and be like,
Rhys Darby says, I was working with some real pigs recently, and they could be trying to like frame that as like your co-stars.
Well, they will now. You've told people to cut it out. That's my career done. I'm over. It's over. I've been.
I know. I've been trying to bring you down for years. I finally got you. That story was just made up. I just wanted you to say that quote. That was a great quote, by the way. I'm going to have that on a T-shirt and everything.
What was my quote again?
I've worked with some real pigs lately. Rhys Darby, 2021.
Hey, you can't copyright my stuff with my own name.
You won't know my audio signature anyway. You can't do it.
Rhys Darby?
No, that's not it.
Rhys Darby?
That's pretty good bootleg.
No, I don't say Rhys Darby.
I would have bought that on eBay thinking it was legit.
That? Oh, that's not it at all. I don't even say my first name in my signature.
Don't you?
No. Haven't you been listening?
How does it go again?
Well, let's go back and look so we can listen to one of these examples of it. Hang on.
Okay.
Out with the old, in with the new. Oh, hang on. Fuck, I've gone forward again. Shit. Granddad. Yes? Reese? Yes. But I'm Reese. How could this be? Oh, no. Oh. Oh, God, I've given myself a heart attack. Fuck, this has gone horribly wrong. I'm just going to grab this. I'm just going to grab a couple more scripts and get back. All right, mate, thank you. Cheers. And we're back.
Who's in the car? I'm so curious who's driving.
I've got some horrible news, guys. What? I accidentally gave myself a heart attack in the future by revealing myself to myself.
What did you reveal?
Do you know what? That's the complete reverse of the time travel paradox, the grandfather paradox. You've gone, instead of going into the past and killing your grandfather, you've gone into the future and killed yourself as a grandfather. You've got it all wrong.
It's typical of me, isn't it? Never quite gets it right.
No.
Oh, I gave myself such a shock. I don't even know why I went there again. To get the signature. There's no signature at the end of it.
Yeah. Also, the way it works is when you get there to be him, it's going to be you from a previous timeline coming. So you should have expected that you would be there.
Oh, yeah.
You should know. The you now knows that is on the way.
It should have been. Been like, oh, Reese, at last. I remember this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm so forgetful, though. I think people don't take that into consideration.
Into what? There's a little bit of a problem with your articulation there. Take it into what? Into
what's that, mate? Am I being belittled by the king of articulation?
Oh, I don't like when mum and dad fight. This is stop it.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, from the king of articulation to the king of definition, this has been a wonderful time, guys.
Yeah. We actually did some cryptid news this time.
We've got to do more cryptid stuff because, you know, that is the heart and soul of the show. Although I think it's safe to say that Weekly World Weird News really is the heart. And I also think it's safe to say that the true heart is the three of us. And aww. I'd even go deeper in saying that Buttons is the actual beating heart of the show. Dan and I are nothing but very, very important organs that are connected to you.
Well, that's lovely of you to say, but that's only possibly true because this is my simulation and my matrix, and I've created both of you guys for this very purpose. Yeah. Much cool. Like I created Von Braun and Elon Musk and created that. God. So
hang on. In the CFU, which is the Cryptid Factor universe that you've created, you've created literally everything. You're in the middle of it.
Yeah. This is I created it all.
We are doing
for this.
Everything. Everything that we do is preordained by you.
Yeah.
Which really surprises me because of the amount of flack I give you. You wanted this. You've written it. You love it.
Why have you made us articulate but left yourself all flabby? What's
that's weird.
Because I'm generous, guys. I may not be articulate, but I'm very generous with my figments of my imagination. Okay?
That's true. Okay. Yeah. All I can say is thank you. Thank you so much for creating us.
Yeah.
It's the least I could do.
I look forward to seeing where this is going. And in the meantime, I've got to write two bumper issues of the Rapisodes. And now I've got a new show to create and get that up to speed. Sci-fi Robot Rangers.
You may have to call the television show that you're working on and just tell them that you're going to just put it off for a week. Can you just hold? Just,
hey, listen, guys, this is great, but I've got, you know, I've got double bumper Rapisodes to write. And I've got this new thing, the Sci-Fi Robot Rangers as well, which, you know, it's not going to write itself, let's be honest. So any chance I could maybe not come in this week? I mean, is this all part of, because I'm in the CFU, so I don't know, has Buttons written this part as well? I'm not sure whether this pirate show is actually supposed to be happening. Is it, whose universe is that part of? I feel like I'm being torn in many directions here. What's that? Out with the old, in with the new. Fuck, I haven't heard that before. I see whoever's written your family life things have definitely fallen off by the wayside. You haven't seen your family for days. You're trapped in another country. You can't get back. Kids are like, what happened to Dad?
Hey, and that's another proof point that this is my matrix and I'm writing my own story. Because it's blissful.
It's blissful.
What's stuck in America without my kids? Who would have written that into their story? Oh, gosh, what a shame.
By the way, your story earlier, how was that a cryptid story? It was a cat we knew about playing with a pig and escaped.
Probably, guys, I've just got to write into my matrix. I've just got to write into the story that we've got to wrap up now, because I'm just writing into my matrix that I'm going to go have some dinner. So sorry, we're out of time to answer that question for you, Dan.
Escapes from the zoo.
Very, very sorry we're out of time to answer your questions, Dan. But in my little matrix universe.
Oh, no, we're out of time. He's written us out.
What a shame. All right. I'll try and remember to write that answer into the next Cryptid Factor Universe episode, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. That's...
Hang on, my driver's back. hey.
Hey, man, you getting in?
Yeah, I think we're just wrapping up now. I just better check with the writer. Is this done?
This is, yeah. You can tell him that you've finished now. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. No, I'm good to go. Who are you, by the way?
Hey, me. It's, I shouldn't really say, but I'm you from the future.
What?
Yeah, quick, get in.
Get in?
Yeah, you know, get in now. Out with the old, in with the new.
Okay, I'm in the car.
All right, let's go.
Sci-fi Robot Rangers.
Coming soon.
Oh, he's written himself into Sci-Fi Robot Rangers. And it looks like the whole cast is him.
And on that note, goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you next week.
Bye.
Definitely two Rapisodes coming. Fuck, I've got a lot of work to do. I'm gonna start now. Okay. Boo, boo, boo. Can't even remember how the beat goes. Whoop, whoop. Right beat. Check out the beat. Continue on with story. Wrap it up. Check with Buttons as he's actually writing everything. Oh, you guys are still here.
I'll call you back later once I've written the rap for you, okay?
Yeah, I was fucking waiting on it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.